You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his thigh's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, folks. And Tom is not going to be able to make it tonight. However, darn, what happened? Jesse dropped off. Well, he'll be back here. And our first guest has dropped off, too. We've had some major problems here in the last few days with the Bigfoot Live Network, and that's our radio show webpage. And although Searching for Bigfoot is still up, there are links in Searching for Bigfoot that won't work because Bigfoot Live Network is down. There's been major hacking going on, and the network server that serves hundreds of web pages has been attacked, and it's a pretty sad thing. But there's a lot of people been working here for the last 3 or 4 days to get it up. So all we can do is go on and do our best. And Jesse just came back in. That's all right, Jesse. I'll be right with you. Anyway, that's what's been going on. What I did, we do have an emergency backup. And for you viewers or you listeners out there, I have both Ustream and I have Listen to My Radio links up. I've sent out hundreds of emails today. I've also posted it on the Searching for Bigfoot webpage right on the front. There's links that you can listen to the show on. Okay? There are links that you can listen to the show on. So if you know somebody that can't get in or is having problems on it, please let them know if you can. There's a problem. There's two chat rooms. Basically, Listen to My Radio has a chat room, and also the Ustream has a chat room. And it also has a social network link. So there's about 100 different ways to connect to it. But for tonight, our regular chat room is bound up into into the network problem. We're going to try to arrange it so that we don't have this. I want to have a backup to the backup thing going in case the network goes down. I want to have a separate network. The network that we have, the whole network being down, is actually two different web pages. The emergency and the backup web page are on that network. And so I need to find another network, and that's what we'll do. And that way we won't, hopefully we won't have this major problem like it is right now. Anyway, here comes Jesse. We got some entertainment lined up tonight. Our first guest didn't line up on the show yet, his name was Curtis. And Curtis basically had an encounter. He was from Arizona, and he was out camping with his friends about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they had a visual encounter of a Bigfoot. And however, I think maybe he had some issues with his phone. It could be. But anyway, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go direct to Jesse. And Jesse is from Utah. And Jesse's been on the show before. They've been up in the mountains and searching around, and they've found a lot of different things. There's handprint, footprints. There was traps moved, all kinds of stuff. But Jesse has some significant things that's just happened recently. Jesse, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm good, Markle. How are you?
We're doing great.
Hey, yeah, I'm having an issue with my phone. I'm driving, so it keeps cutting out on me. So if you lose me, that's why.
Okay, well, don't worry. That's okay. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your area.
Yeah, yes? Well, this past Sunday, I went up the mountain, you know, where I had all the other stuff happen, because I got a turkey hunt coming up next month, so I was doing a little scouting for that. And I have been up there for, you know, about four hours just hiking around, doing a little scouting like I usually do. I kind of had a feeling the whole time something was watching me. So, you know, I was a little worried in the first place. And, you know, I walked a little bit further, a couple hundred yards, and it was starting to get dark. So, you know, I was about ready to head down to get back home, and I started hearing something knocking on the trees around me. So, and it seemed like it was coming from a few different directions. So, you know, I was getting a little worried, and, you know, because I had a lot of encounters up in this area before. So I was getting a little worried, and all of a sudden, I heard some rustling in the bushes, and a rock came flying past the back of my head, missed me just by a couple inches. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrifying. So I hurried up and then skedaddled back down to my Bronco and headed home. But yeah, it was quite the experience.
Holy smokes. Well,
did you
find any tracks or anything like that in there? Was it snowy, or what was it about?
We're kind of having a strange winter out here where I'm at this year. It's been really warm. It'll snow or rain, you know, a little bit, and then it'll get real muddy up there. I didn't see any tracks because, like I said, you know, it was starting to get dark, and when I really started, you know, getting worried, so I was gonna head down. So I didn't see any tracks, and I haven't been up there. This was just on Sunday, just a couple days ago. I'm heading back up there this weekend, and I'm gonna look around for some tracks. It's snowed since then, so maybe I can find them, but I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some up there. It was real muddy, and there was definitely something up there. It almost hit me with a rock.
Good gosh, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty close,
Yeah, and usually I'm up there, you know, I'll hear some strange things, and, and, you know, hear some knocking on the trees and stuff, but I've never had a rock thrown at me. And it wasn't just, like, it threw a rock. It threw a rock at me. And I go up there all the time, and it's usually not very aggressive, whatever's up there, but I think it's tired of seeing me up there in its area, so it might be starting to get a little bit aggressive with me.
Uh-huh. Well, Jesse, why don't you tell everybody, I mean, it's been a while since you've been on. And just to refresh everybody's memory, you and Travis, your buddy Travis, both were together up there, and you've done quite a bit of research on your own.
Yeah.
Tell everybody a little bit of what's happened up there.
Well, to start, I had a trail cam up there. Remember that picture I told you I had, the one of the creature? That one was on my dad's laptop, like I told you, and he dropped his laptop and broke the whole thing. So I can't get there's no way for me to get the picture. And that was horrible because I had a picture, and it was kind of far away, but you could tell there was something bigger than any animals we have up there leaning in a bush there. And that where I saw that leaning in the picture, that's where I found the handprint in that pile of mud. I've had a life trap set up in that area, and we check it every couple days or so. And we went up there one day, and the trap had actually been moved quite a ways away from where we had set it and thrown off into the bushes there. And there was the tracks up there, and then, we've had all kinds of stuff going on up there. A lot of the noises, the screaming, the tree knocking, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you had some traps or stuff up there that was all moved around too, right?
Yeah, the live trap that we had, it actually had been moved quite a distance from where we had set it and thrown off into the bushes. Quite a ways away from where the footprint stopped, so something threw it and something was really strong because it was thrown pretty far.
Now, you guys had a handprint too, right?
Yeah, the handprint. I sent you pictures of the handprint.
Yeah, we got it on the website, I believe.
Yeah, the handprint was crazy. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, around here I get a lot of crap from people that don't believe, you know, telling me that I'm full of crap and this and that. And I mean, I had a rock buzz past my head, and there's my mind, you know.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's your plans, Jesse? For you know, you're planning on going up there and searching around. Do you have any specific plans and how to get some prints or some other things that you might get available?
Yeah, you know, Tom, when I was on the phone with him before, he explained to me how to do the casts for the footprints and stuff. But after that, and knowing that it's up there, I want to go back up there and do some research and see what I can find out. Maybe I had a camera with me on Sunday too. I just didn't get, you know, I didn't get to see what was doing it, you know.
Right, so it was a little dark. Well, it was getting the dark out, right? It's twilight time.
Yeah, sure. And he's definitely an elusive guy.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be smart.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, heck. So you've been, I've heard now you've got another brand new little baby.
Yeah, I just had a little boy.
Little
Carson James. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's kept
Travis
me from going. Travis is doing great. Yeah, he actually had a daughter as well. So.
My goodness.
We're pumping out kids up here. So. Some future Sasquatch hunters.
Wow.
So I had the baby, so it had been a while since I had been up there. You know, I've been, you know, taking care of the little baby and stuff. But now today's actually his birthday. He's a year old today, so I'd like to do a shout-out to my son and wish him a happy first birthday.
You certainly can. Just do that.
Yeah, happy birthday, Carson. Yeah, so now I have a lot more time. So I have a lot more time now, so he's a little bit older, so I do plan on getting back up there and then doing some more research because I really want to find out what's doing this.
Mm. Now, you're going up in the mountains, right?
Yeah, I go up in the mountains. Like I said, I was scouting for my turkey hunt that I got coming up next month.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about that. Now, you do a turkey hunt out there. Do they let some turkeys loose and you go get them, or are they wild turkey?
They're wild turkeys. We've actually got a really good population of wild turkeys now. You can actually buy the tags over the counter nowadays because we planted them out there over the years, and they've just boomed. So we have a huge turkey population that we can hunt every year.
Wow, that's pretty neat. So, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's really cool because back when I was a kid, there wasn't any turkeys up there, and then we planted them, and they've really thrived up in our mountains here. So they're up there.
Oh, goodness. I've been out pheasant hunting, and I've been, duck hunting and partridge and doves, but I've never been out turkey hunting. Now, I know down in the southern states, they have turkey shoots and stuff, but
yeah.
I just never, we never had any. Of course, I was in Minnesota at the time, and we don't have turkeys up there, but it was pretty neat, but that's really, it sounds kind of exciting because they're pretty decent-sized birds.
They are. They're really big birds, and it's not easy either. It's a really tough hunt. You know, we got our decoys and our calls and stuff, but sometimes they just don't come in. So you gotta hike up after them.
Sure.
Jeez. Yeah. And these mountains, we don't have just little mountains. We got some big mountains up here with some pretty rough terrain. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse, I just want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing with us, and keep in touch.
Yeah.
We'll certainly keep in touch with you and you and Travis. And anything breaks loose, feel free to call me anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going back up there this weekend on Sunday, so I'm going to see what I can do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jesse. You take care, and congratulations on your new baby boy.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. Jay Dizzy, out.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jesse from Utah, and he was, of course, he had some, this time there was something threw a rock at him, and it was about inches from his head when it did it, so that's amazing. Well, we're going to go to a quick little commercial, and when we come back, we're going to talk with our good old friend Bruce Schilt. Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to not delay, and we're going to go to my friend Bruce of Montana, the Blackfeet Nation. Hello, Bruce. How are you tonight, my friend?
Hello, Marco, my friend. I am doing real well.
Well, gosh, tell us a little bit the weather. How's the weather up there? I mean, it's you're like in this kind of like 100 below zero, 90 mile an hour winds. Montana, tell us what's going on.
One bit, Bill. Couldn't even see over the fence when I came home from work. I don't know, it must have snowed 6 inches, and then it blowed away. But at work today, I was talking with one of my friends, and he showed me a picture on his phone. He just took last week of a Bigfoot track, and he wears size, I think he said 16s, and it wasn't as big as that Bigfoot track. He took his picture of his foot track alongside it, and it was huge. It was about like the size that I found. Or my little girl.
Yeah, 23 or 22 inches, something like that.
Yeah, about 22. But I was kind of hoping I could tell from the footprint if it was the same Sasquatch that was
right
that we got a picture or cast of. But I couldn't tell because it was in the snow, and you couldn't see the outline of the toes that well.
Right, yeah, well, because the snow is probably powdery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but it looks about the same size. It might even be the same one. And this is only about a mile from where Tom stayed. Tom and the crew stayed.
Yeah, when they were out there last time.
Yeah, just down the road there, little ways. And
wow.
Them Sasquatches are all over here, but I haven't seen any lately, but there's other people that seen them, you know.
Really?
This fall, yeah. There's a couple cowboys called me and told me there's a Sasquatch raising Cain with them. They were gathering cattle on the ridge here, and there was a couple Sasquatches kind of bothering them, hollering at them, and I don't know what else, but we checked that out. We never did find a footprint, but I'm sure there was footprints up there somewhere. And then just down the road, down over the divide there, tourists unloading these.
Jose Ramirez?
Huh?
Okay, Jose, I'll be right with you, my friend.
All right, no problem.
Go ahead, Bruce.
There was a tourist unloading his trailer, and one of the Indians from a little town down the hill there was helping him. You know, stopped, and he was helping the tourist. And I guess when they got done, that guy looked up, and there was a Sasquatch standing in the brush line there just watching him. And this here is just a little ways from another one of my friends. He found a Sasquatch footprint in a cow pie. So,
oh, wow.
Cow pie was dry, so he took a plyboard and put it underneath the cow pie, and he brought it to me, and I made a casting of that.
Oh, wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, we live right in the middle of them, I haven't seen them or anything. You know, when I was younger, we lived a little ways from where I live now, but just over the hill. And my dad I remember him saying a couple times, you know, there must be somebody out in the brush chopping wood or something, because I can hear it sounds like somebody chopping. But, you know, thinking back on that, I don't think it was anybody in the brush chopping wood. They were probably knocking or something. No.
Yeah, tree knocking, or maybe, huh?
Uh-huh. And
well,
you know,
you've had
my little girl. We heard them hollering back in the mountains there for about 15 minutes. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of a is it? Kind of like a whoop or what? What kind of holler?
It was kind of a long, drawn out holler, like.
Uh huh. Like a yell or something like that?
It was kind of like this. Oh!
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's
kind of like what like Tom has recorded, right?
Because we live with coyotes, we must have 1,000 around the house here.
Yeah.
But that brings me to another story. When me and Donna was up on the mountain hunting them, and I could hear down in the brush, it sounded like a bunch of coyotes or something, kind of like they were not yipping, kind of making noises, you know?
Right.
Like a pack of dogs or something, but they were, it was just kind of it sounded like an animal sound, but I don't know what it was. And I was thinking it might have been some Bigfoot talking down in there. I never did hear him talk, but, you know.
Yeah.
Coyotes and stuff like that, I know they mimic them.
Right, they try to. Yeah, they do. Yeah, sometimes not very well. Sometimes real good.
Yeah, and you know that's the same place where we go up on the mountain there, and when we leave, that Bigfoot he whistles at us. He does oh, about three or four times, and I mean, I don't know. It must be a Bigfoot because that's where they live is back there. The story I heard from my friends that live back in the mountains there, it's back in the back of the line there, you know, where the reservation ends in and they put up a little outpost there. They called it Snowshoe Cabin. And these rangers were supposed to stay up there and watch the line, you know.
But right.
These Bigfoot got to them. They were tearing the boards off their roof, you know, and raising
games.
And nothing ever happened with that Snowshoe Cabin. It washed down the creek because nobody would stay there.
Wow. Well, boy, I tell you, that's something else. Well, you've had some good things happening there, Bruce, quite a bit.
Time around here, people will come up and tell me about, you know, their experiences and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sitting right in the middle of it, and I don't know what to do about it. I can't see them. I can't find them. But I know they're here because... Just last fall, my neighbor was telling me he went back in the mountain just a little bit south of where we stay here, and he found a bunch of bones back in this coulee. And we went back in there, and we did. We found one print on the side hill, the sand.
Uh-huh.
And... that was south of us, you know, and up north in the mountain there, that's where the Bigfoot, they live, and down east of us, that's where we took a picture of a couple dark objects walking way down in the hills.
Sure.
And right over to the north of us, that's where Hiram has that.
Right, where Hiram had the thing, yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, they're all around us all
wow.
the time, and we can't find them. But there's another story down the creek a little ways from where Hiram stays. Well, that's where I got two plaster casts of Bigfoot. And there's another down the creek a little bit farther. There's another guy. He was looking for somebody to help him or something because he was getting harassed by a Bigfoot peeking in his window and coming around at night making noise,
right.
Scaring the dogs to death. You know, eating their dog food or something. I don't know what he's doing.
Jeez. Well, gosh, Bruce, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. This was off the cuff. I didn't plan it, but it was right off the cuff. But boy, you got quite a bit going on there.
Well, yeah, I've got a lot more stories, you know. But
yeah, well, I'm going to keep in touch, and then what I'm going to do is maybe tomorrow or the next day I'm going to give you a call. We'll go over some of these things, and we'll get you have you on again next week.
Okay,
go over a lot of the things.
Markle, can I say ask you one thing? Tom
Certainly.
Was supposed to send us a couple movies, and we never did get them.
I'll check with him. I'll check with him. He's not, as you know, he's on the road all the time. But I'll check with him, and I'll make sure. I'll talk with him probably tomorrow, and I'll ask him. And if he, I know he'll try to get them out to you right away.
Well, I could maybe sell some for him here if he would. You know, trust me to do that because people are asking my little daughter about the movies and stuff. You know, and they're interested in them.
No problem. I'll talk to him tomorrow, and we'll maybe get a hold of you. I'll let you know what the status is.
Okay, that one that Tom made here, it's a big seller around here. Everybody talks about it.
Everyone has it too.
That's good. Well, I'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll go over that, and then I'll call Tom, and we'll get things set up.
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce, for coming on. I got the other guest I got right now. He's limited in time. He's on. He's at work, and he's got a 15-minute break.
No problem.
Okay, take care, and say goodbye to Donna, too.
Okay. Bye, Marco.
Goodbye now. I'm going to mute you out.
Bye.
So long, Brucey. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bruce Schilt and his wife Donna in Montana in the Blackfeet Nation. Our next guest is Jose. He's from Texas. Jose, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jose, you've had some pretty exciting experience here in the last, was a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was, I believe, Sunday, February 29th when I witnessed. Yes. And, you want me to go ahead?
Go ahead, Jose. Tell everybody. Tell everybody what happened.
I was coming back from I live in Texas. We went up to Arkansas through Highway 75, and we were up in Arkansas for 2 days. We're coming back Sunday in the afternoon, and it's a 5-hour drive to where I live. And we're coming down. I saw on my phone that there was a shortcut past Atoka, Oklahoma, that would take me to the city I live at, which I have to go through Dallas, through that area. So I took that shortcut, and it was a little highway road, just two lanes, oncoming traffic and, outgoing traffic. And we went, and it was a little city called Bokchito, B-O-K-C-H-I-T-O. And we went through it, and after that we hit, which was like a county road / pavement road, not really a paved road, but it was dirt and all that. While we were going down, I was probably going speed limit 55. I had my high beams on. No other cars were around. Out of the distance, me and my mom saw a figure that was running on the side of the road, like on the, the side? Yeah, just on the side of the road. It was running. And then, I started slowing down, to which when when we got close to it, it was an animal, a creature. It was, when I first saw it, I thought it was a bear. But, there's no bears in South Oklahoma with the area I was at. It was just, like plains, kind of. There's no bears there, for sure. And then second thought it was a moose, because it was huge. Mm-hmm. But when we're coming to it, because, the behind of the animal, the behind of it was like the size of the window that we were driving a truck. It was, up in there. So, but when we were watching, when we saw it out in the distance with the high beams, it looked like, it was running. But at the same time, it was like limping. So, it looked like a person, running but limping at the same time. But I was going 55. I slowed down to 45. And, the animal, the creature, it was running probably around 35 to 40 miles an hour, or 35, I would say. And, when we got real, right next to it, we're probably like 2 feet away from it, on the truck, it started getting into the lane. It started going on the road, to which I had to swerve out the road. We had just gotten a new set of, a new bedroom set. We had the couches, dresser, everything on the back of the truck. So, I swerved to the point where I made sure nothing in the back, because if I would have swerved fast, we could have flipped or something. So, I swerved. And then I just passed and just kept on going. But, at the same time, I was speechless because I'd never seen an animal like that. Like, we got close to it, the fur, it had fur, the hair on it. Yeah. It was, real thick and, I would say two to 3 inches long, the hair. Mm-hmm. But it was thick. You could tell it was thick because, I was so close to it, right next to it. And I just kept on going. I didn't even look back at all. I was shocked. At the first, first moment I saw, thinking it was my mom at first point, she thought it was a bull, but, a cow, bulls, you can see the neck on it. When you're right next to them, you can see a neck to it. But you know, this animal didn't have no neck. It was just, like, if, you know, at the same point, like, the head was above the truck, to which you couldn't really see the head of it.
Right, it was, I understand. You know, it was really tall, huh?
Yeah, it was real tall. Compared just, you know, the behind of it was as tall as the window. You know, I can't imagine how taller it would be. And then, you know, we just kept on going. I didn't look back at all. We got to the next city, and I just kept on going. I did some, I went back, did some research that night when I got home, you know. Then, you know, from doing research, I figured, you know, I'll say 98% sure that it could have been, you know, I think it was Bigfoot.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
My goodness. Now, when you were looking at it, could you see the arms, or was it pretty? Could you see arms?
It was like around 8:30.
Yeah, it was getting dark.
Yeah, over here it was already dark over here, and there was a no moon, so it was pitch black outside.
Right.
I didn't see.
Hard to see real detail,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, real detail, because I know for sure it wasn't, you know, if it was a cow or a bull or, you know, a bear, you could have seen the front feet. You know, all I saw was the behind feet, you know, the back legs, behind, but I didn't see no, you know, like I'm telling you, it was like limping at the same time.
Because that's what was right in front of you, right next to you, right? It was standing up.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
there.
You know, I was behind it, you know, I was going from a distance, and then when I got so close to it, it just came in front of our lane. So in which I just swerved, you know, I was looking out at the shoulder on the left side, seeing I wouldn't go over or anything because I had that cargo in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was pretty shocking to see something like that because, you know, an animal and a creature that you've never seen before. Yeah, it's pretty.
So now you're a believer, right?
Yes. I would do a History Channel or National, you know, channels like that on TV. You know, it would come on, I would look at it, because I'm always into channels like that. You know, I thought there was Bigfoot, but nobody's ever, you know, caught one or, you know, pictures, they say they're, is it a hoax? Some people say, you know, the pictures are hoax or fake, but, you know, after seeing this, I'm like 100% sure there is out there, just people haven't really, because, you know, if I would have had my phone on me, like I had my phone, but my home button on my phone is broken, so even at the same time, I didn't have time to grab my phone. Just, you know, because you never think of you're going to witness something like that.
Well, usually when something like that happens, even if you have a camera or a phone or something, it's very difficult to, I mean, first of all, you're excited because you're seeing something. You're trying to concentrate.
You're shocked.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a rush. I mean, it's and confusing. And trying to take a picture and all those things, I mean, your mind just doesn't work like that usually.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, like people out there, you know, sometimes they go out there and hoping they're going to find one, and they have all their cameras ready. And, you know, when you least expect it, that's when you see one and you don't have your phone on you or on hand to take an actual picture or video or something, you know, to prove it.
Well, And Jose, what happens is most of the time, when people are out searching for it, unless you know how to search for it, and the area that you know need to know how to search for it, the creature is not going to usually make itself available with a lot of noise and other things that are around it that you'd need, you know, with people tramping around. But
and like I'm pretty sure it was, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Bigfoot because from the area, from the place I was at, from where I saw this, you know, where I saw Bigfoot, it was probably like 5 miles away from there. There's a river that, you know, separates Oklahoma and Texas, to which, you know, there's a lot of water. And around that area, there's a lot of swamps around that area. So, you know.
Yeah, well, so it's a good habitat for something like that. Water, food, other things available for it. Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, some of the things that happens is, you know, when people first have an encounter, the hardest thing is, I mean, you're just questioning everything. I mean, you're looking at everything, you're seeing it, you're trying to absorb it. trying to make, is this really what I'm looking at? And all those kind of things, 100 million things go through your mind. Plus, it's a surprise.
A whole week after that, everything I did, I was like, what, you know, what was that I saw? Because I've never seen nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, the bear and moose things that I had first initially thought it was. You know, it just keeps on going back in my mind thinking, if, was it that or no, you know, because I've never seen something like this.
So, I understand, you know, and we're really glad that you came on. You know, Jose called me on the Bigfoot hotline and sent me an email or a text message with your phone, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and told us about it and got a hold of him. And so how are you now? Are you interested in this trying to pursue it?
Yeah, you know, I would if I could, because, you know, I work. But, you know, if I had time, I would, during the day, cause not at night. From what I saw, and, you know, I saw this animal at night, I would go back during the day and, you know, see around that area, because that area is, you know, it's just the road I saw, it was a county road. You know, if I had time and throughout the day, I would, and if it was day, I would go out back over there and try to just, you know, walk around the area on foot to see if I see anything, you know, any footprints or anything of that could lead to it.
Well, around that area anyway, I mean, there's several, you know, we have, as I told you before, we have a very hot spot there in in Paris, Texas area there. And Atoka County has also had several sightings in the past few years as well. There was a hoax there for, you know, one of the guys, you know, put some pelts on his back and took a picture and all that crap. But, I mean, that's very discernible. I mean, you could tell that. And it was supposed to be a joke anyway, but. You know, all those things, the media gets a hold of it and spreads it way, you know, spreads it around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but there have been quite a few sightings around those areas there. And so it's a pretty active area.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you so much. I know you had to take your break to come on the show, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, you know. We'll
keep in touch with you.
Yeah, because last week my dad came down from another state he was at. You know, we were talking about it because we hadn't told him about it. And, you know, after I told him, you know, I kept on thinking about it. I'm like, I need, you know, let somebody know about this. Let, you know, tell my story of what I saw. And, you know, I wrote to you and you contacted me. So.
Well, thank you for doing that. I mean, it takes a little bit of courage to come up and do that because there's so many people out there ready to smash you down.
Think you're crazy,
and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for coming on our show here and sharing with all of our listeners tonight.
Also, no problem.
We will keep in touch with you. And if anything does happen, I've given you all my contact information. By all means, call me anytime. I'm available for you anytime. You just give me a call, send me an email, anything, and I'll get a hold of you. And
all right, sounds good. If I ever go back to the area and look for it, I'll make sure to give you a call and let you know what happens.
Thank you. And I'll keep in touch with you, Jose. Thank you so much.
All right, then. Thank you.
See you. You take care and have a wonderful night.
Yeah, you too. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jose from Texas. Now we're going to go into do a little break here for a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a good friend of ours, Dave Ortiz.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives to a movie right now at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is Dave Ortiz from Four Corners. Dave, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great, Marco. It's great to hear from you.
Same here. So tell us what's going on. Now, well, last week, you know, we had Marcus on. And he told us about some of the things that are going on with him. So, sure. But you got a lot of other things going on, too. What? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, sure will. You know, from the last time I talked to you, you know, I was just hearing some very sporadic reports of Bigfoot in the area, and then I heard Marcus's. Well, actually, about just a few days after I talked with you here on the show, I play in four different bands. And two of them are from Colorado, just across the border in the Durango area. And then I have two here in the Farmington area. That one's the jazz one. And we just formed a country group. With that country group, there's a drummer named Fred that lives just inside the Indian Reservation. He lives in Farmington now. But he was telling me, Dave, he says, my sister still lives out there where I grew up. And would you care to come over? He says, they're having some really weird activity. And, you know, he described it and says, yeah, they're having screams. And they finally found some unusual tracks in their field. So I said, sure, I'll go check them out. So I did go out there, and I took Brenda, a friend of SFBI, too, took her
out
there.
Yeah, and Brenda's the lady when JC and Brenda found that irrigation pipe.
Exactly, yeah.
And and the skunk, the dead skunk in the irrigation pipe.
Yeah, and Brenda's becoming a widely known investigator in the reservation. She's starting to get herself a niche in there. So I said, hey, I'll take her with me. And so we went out there to Fred's sister's house, and lo and behold, we found some tracks. At first, they were just impressions because the weather had got to them. You know, it's been freezing and snowing and stuff. But they were, I think we got about between 4 and 5 foot stride. We actually found a 6 foot stride, but they were averaging about 4 to 5 foot. And about 16-inch tracks, 15 to 16, narrow. They weren't real wide, but narrow. And, you know, we were just kind of talking. And so eventually we got to check out the property is actually near the San Juan River. It's this whole valley is just, you know, the San Juan River starts in Colorado, and there's small tributaries that fall into it eventually toward Lake Powell. But in this particular area, we seem to have an attraction for Bigfoot. Possibly these creatures are coming down off the Rockies and wintering here. Well, we get to the back of the property, which is, you know, just on the edge of the riverbank. And this riverbank isn't a slope. It isn't a beach by any sort. There's like a 10-foot, between 5 to 10-foot drop in certain parts. There's no real bank, you know, to go down and get in the water. It's just a median.
Right.
Well, we go back there, and immediately we start finding, Brenda actually found a track. Very fresh track. It was a 16-inch track. Some of those pictures I sent you showed that track.
Unfortunately, we had a major network problem. What I will do, though, is next week I'll have them up and put them on there and put a link on it for you.
Okay, great.
We'll put it up on the Searching for Bigfoot webpage with a button and all that stuff.
Okay, excellent. So we were just checking out the edges, and there's actually a wooded area that has salt cedar and just brush in general. We started finding a lot of flattened area, and see this landowners, Fred's relatives, told us that they haven't been back there much for years. There's an old camp trailer that somebody stayed in for a while, and you know just assorted possessions that they have, you know, crates and stuff laying around, but they hadn't been back there for a while, and they were astonished to see what was going on. There's flattened grass. There's activity going on. Something's been actually making trails back there, and they're going, well, we know it's not people there because this is our property. Nobody's been back here. And we actually found some feces. It was dry, but it was very dark gray and black, and it had some hair in it, black hair too. And when we found that feces back there, it also smelled like sort of like a skunk, but like a rotting garbage too. It was very fresh. Whatever it was had just we believe had just left the area, probably jumped in the water carefully and left the area so we couldn't see it. But it left that telltale smell, and it went away within 2 minutes. It was gone. So I said, hey, our subject was here. Just now we scared it off. And we looked around, and we just basically found broken branches. So we crossed the barbed wire fence, and that's when Brenda found some, I think Brenda and Fred found some hair. That was that other picture I sent you. And we haven't got it tested yet, but we don't know of any creatures that have been going through there. They don't have any cattle, any livestock of any sort. And,
right.
And this is in view of other homes. I mean, this isn't just their only home, but there's other homesteads that have like 5-6 acres of land.
Sure.
But we get out of there, and Brenda noticed something very unusual. There was a car. You know, down in the valley here, a lot of times people will throw their old cars at the edge of the valley to keep down erosion. This car
right.
was a family possession. It was an old a four-door 57 Chevy that they just laid out there. And I asked him, it was covered with dirt and vegetation. And I asked him, did you guys bury this vehicle on the side of the, you know, side of the banks? I said, no. We'd seen the car for a few years, and we noticed we just hadn't noticed it anymore. Well, something or someone had buried it with probably 6 to 8 inches of dirt on top of it, but left the door windows open. And it does appear that something has been crawling back and forth regularly.
Wow.
And then right next to it, there's a trail, a very steep trail. It plunges about 10 foot directly in the river. We had to be very careful because if you slid down it, you'd fall directly in the river. But something was using that as a quick slide out, you know, to hit the water. And while we were checking that out, I was talking to the family members, and then Brenda gave us notice that she heard a whistle. I heard that whistle, but I didn't think about it. But she was a little closer to the river and said, I just heard a whistle across the river. It was, and there's no home occupation over there. It's just more woods.
Right.
And, we suspect that it could be a Bigfoot that whistled, maybe for communication. But that we call the 57 Chevy the Bigfoot condo because it's
well,
very well protected.
Well, that'd be pretty neat, you know. That's it would make sense.
Yeah,
you know that something could stay in there and keep itself sheltered.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It doesn't take much. Put some dirt on top, and it would be nice and cool during the day, and
right,
and at least a little bit warm during the night if it got down.
Sure. Yeah, it was actually very well constructed, and then. Brenda went and drifted off just looking around in the dirt for some more stuff, and that's when she found the baby Bigfoot track. That's the one I sent you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's 6 or 7 inches long, and it had long toes and then just a small arch and everything in that area, heel. But we determined it to be a baby Bigfoot, and I've heard the latest reports. It had snowed, rained and snowed since then, but there are some new tracks showing. Actually, about a day or two later, more tracks appeared. That's what we were told.
Wow.
So, you know, usually when you do a stakeout in an area, the Bigfoot tend to go away. You just, a lot of times you may not
right.
see them for a while. These things came right back. They just don't seem to fear us. So they don't appear to fear the family.
Wow.
So we're going to do an ongoing investigation. I would actually like to set a pie out there, a Walmart apple pie, and cover it with a tin. You know they're good anyway, but
yes.
Cover it with a thin metal, some sort of metal sheeting or something. But I'd like to grease it down with something. I wanted to use Crisco, but I'm afraid they're going to lick it off. So maybe something
right.
that's not so tasty. So we can actually get to see what the handprint looks like.
Right.
I don't know if
we got one of a peanut butter jar from Texas. That was pretty good.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Actually, that's a good substance.
You know, the hand in the peanut butter jar with a photo and all that, I mean, we actually got a print out of that. That's amazing.
Oh, great. But it's been very exciting. You know, it's been a little bit slow, and all of a sudden we're hearing some stories like this. So they are still residing in the valley, and when I describe this valley, it's not exactly a wilderness by any means. You can see the Highway 64 nearby, and you can see homes everywhere scattered on both sides of this river.
Yeah, kind of a rural community area, right?
Exactly. Now they've
small homesteads like 5, 6, 10 acres and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's separation of homesteads with property, usually alfalfa fields.
Yeah.
But in between that, apparently at night, they must be wandering back and forth through there very easily. You know, you just can't see them in the fields. Mm-hmm.
What kind of food things do they have available to them there? Do they have fields of grain or corn or things like that that's available, or orchards of some sort?
Absolutely. There are mostly cornfields. Now, right now, the corn is not doing well. It's been harvested long ago.
And
they have alfalfa. We're not sure if they eat the alfalfa. Occasionally, I think they're actually eating some animals, too. We do find, you know, bones of beavers. We found beavers torn apart, skunks on occasion. What else? Just some unfortunately, some pets, too. Some pets have come missing. We're not sure.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a lot of owls and eagles, too, so that contributes as well. Well, we have a lot of geese and turkey. I was listening to Jesse talk about the turkey. We have had turkey planted in the valley here, too. They actually live 100, 200 yards away, and I see them. Very tasty-looking turkeys walking through, you know.
Well, maybe you can hunt turkey on Easter.
yeah, actually from the neighborhood where I live. You know, if I can run and get it fast enough. No, I couldn't do that.
Well, no, they're kind of, turkeys are fairly good-sized birds. I mean, even wild, they're fairly good size. The pheasants are, you know, those Chinese pheasants are real. I mean, they're really not that bad either.
Right. When they apparently their environment is really good here. They were planted just a few short years ago, and they're prospering immensely in this valley. In fact, I saw one in the alley of my house here. It flew out of a game refuge nearby. And I saw it walking around. I said, look, there's a tom turkey.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're
having some good reliable reports. And that investigation is actually quite exciting.
Well, now, Father Ray's going to be coming back here in the middle of March.
Oh, great.
So I guess he'll be hooking up with you again to go out. Because, I think he likes to go out with you. That last time you guys went out, you had some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, up in the bottom mountains, we found some slight areas of mud where it appears that a Bigfoot had slid into a small creek, and then where we turned around, we found some tracks in the gravel, and then I got a rock thrown at me, a small pebble, but at high speed.
Well, just like Jesse was talking about, you know, when he had the rock. Just a little bit for a little weight. I mean, real close to his head.
Yeah.
And that's the first time something like that happened. So.
Oh yeah. They seem to avoid wanting to injure you, but they just want to let you know that they're there.
Yeah, it's a warning kind of thing. Like I'm here. Get out of my area or something, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they could really do harm. Do damage.
Oh, if they wanted to, my goodness. Well, you know, you heard about that one in Minnesota. The guy was in a deer stand and they threw a small rock.
Yeah,
and he was wearing thick hunting clothes, and it bruised his ribs.
Yeah,
it was really a full force throw, man. I'll tell you.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thanks for coming on tonight. We're coming to the end of another show here, but thanks for coming on. I'll keep in touch with you. I'd like to see what's going on.
Yeah, and, I'll keep you all posted.
Yeah, and I'll post your pictures. Next week, I got to figure out how we're going to get this network back up. Ladies and gentlemen, this network problem is not just a Bigfoot Live radio show network. I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of websites. It's a major server, and it's a really they got some major problems. So we're going to try to figure out how to circumvent those in the future, but it's really difficult. But we'll try, and, you know, at least I got something up tonight. It's not the best, but it's the best I could do in about 5 hours. So, you folks, everybody take care out there. Dave, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Tom, we'll be back next week. You take care, Dave.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Marco Bill.
And ladies and gentlemen, that ends another show. Keep on Bigfooting, and we'll see you all here next week. Take care now.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts.